Chapter 82. Lysander. This summons legions. Heliopolis, city of the sun, lies in darkness. Darrow and his howlers disappear from the sky as their grav boots fail, and they plummet down into shadows. Ships crash across the skyline without the dignity of balls of fire or white flashes from overloading reactors. I swim to the edge of the pool and jump down to the next level of the fountain, nearly losing hold of the horn of Helios as I drop down. There's a terrific crash from above as a troop carrier collides with the head of Poseidon, breaking off his right ear and tearing the carrier in two. One piece slams down into the topmost pool plate. The second spins through the air, passing less than 10 meters over my head. Half a hundred men are still strapped into their seats. Their faces pass close enough I can see the acne on a brown's forehead before they smash into a building below. Water rains down on me. I look up. Over my head, the topmost plate of the gardens is cracking under the weight of the larger half of the carrier. I jump from the pool to the one beneath just as the topmost plate gives way, and 100 tons of marble and ship smash down on the pool beneath. It becomes an avalanche of stone and water and ship collapsing each plate, gaining on me as I jump frantically down the monument. I hit the ground level of the plaza and roll, barely outracing the debris that crashes down behind me. Chunks of rock the size of horses roll across the plaza, crumpling the bodies of bystanders and splintering trees. Something hits me hard in the back of the skull, and I go sprawling. Blood leaks down my back when I regain my feet. Dust billows all around. I search until I find the horn, then I run. Somehow, running in the darkness through the bedlam, I find the Via Triumphia. Rising legionnaires shout to one another in the black streets. I jump, grab the lip of a low wall and scramble up till I'm on the rooftops. There I strip open my rucksack and change into lightweight boots. I wrap the loyalist razor around my left arm and try Alexander's better-crafted blade. Its response to my touch is exemplary. The whip cracks as it lashes out to wrap around the metal support of an overhead solar array. I swing out across the gaps between the roofs and toggle the razor into a blade. It releases as it cuts through the array, and I land on the other side. More arrays fall behind me as I swing north over the dark streets with the horn of Helios. The mayhem of the prison break is illuminated in stuttered flashes of gunfire. With electricity flowing, those prisoners taken in the Battle of the Ladan were at the mercy of the rising. Now gold and obsidian athletes scale the walls and tear their low-color guards to ribbons with their bare hands. I keep well clear. I can't mobilize them in the chaos on foot. Exeter and Glerastes' servants will have laid the charges on the pen housing my Praetorians. They may already be underway. I'm the laggard here. I vault another roof, almost impaling myself on a clothesline pole as I head breakneck for the Hippodrome. I was meant to land in the center of the arena, where loyalists would be waiting, but Alexander ruined my timing and jeopardized my initiative. Darrow was in pulse armor. The lack of electrical assistance will paralyze the weaker howlers under the armor's weight, but not soldiers like Darrow or Thraxa. He'll wake in some arcade or upon some roof, surrounded by chaos from which no man could possibly salvage a victory. But Darrow built his legend on such moments. The EMP wave went farther than expected. I can't see the lights of Atalantia's ships in orbit. How far did it go on the ground? How long till she moves more elements in? Given time, Darrow will summon some martial necromancy. So when I come south for his army, it must be with shock and awe. I use a market stall awning to slow my descent as I swing from the rooftops down to ground level and weave through dead automobiles outside the Hippodrome. "Loon!" I shout as I approach the main pedestrian entry arch at a run. "Invictus!" someone replies. A dozen mid-color loyalists with gas-powered rifles step out of the shadows. They wave me to the left, into an arcade beneath the stadium seats, where concessions are sold and bets made on race day. Gunpowder weapons crackle in the distance. I find the door to the subterranean stables unlocked. Two rising sentries lie outside it with holes in their heads. A wall of horse stench hits my nose as I burst from the stairwell into the stables. Lit by the eerie flames of torches, one of Glirastus's servants waits for me with a dozen obsidian stable-hands in the proud race-day livery of House Votum. "Hail, Loon!" they say, falling to their knees on the straw-strewn floor. They rise again, staring at me in the low light, to tend the anxious herd of saddled sunbloods. None but obsidians could wrangle such intrepid beasts. I search their eyes. They are barely kin with those who follow Cephi. They know no other life but Mercury, no life but these horses, no life but service. I salute them as they fulfill their noble task, and extend my arms for the loyalists to buckle the waiting suit of armour to me. It is old gear, circuits long dead, bone white with a crude crescent welded onto the front and back. Glirastes is incorrigible. "So you're Cicero's blood of empire," I say to the horse, set out before the rest. For once, Cicero was not hyperbolic. It is as if every horse I have seen before this day, even Atalantia's prized creatures, were nothing more than early drafts of this ultimate creation. He towers over me, clearing 25 hands at the withers, with still more muscled shoulder to measure. His hooves are the size of dinner plates, his mane as brilliant an orange as his irises, his white coat dappled steel-grey. Haughty eyes watch me. He bucks his head as I approach, lifting the two obsidian stable-hands off their feet. When they wrangle him back down, I cut my hand and wave the blood over his nose so he can smell it. He tilts his head, his eyes searching mine. I bring my nose to his, as is the dangerous custom with sunbloods. He could snap off my face with ease, but I keep my voice soothing, and he lets me stroke his muzzle. With a snort, he bends his front legs in obeisance. The obsidians cheer. They had wondered if the horse would find me worthy. "Blood knows blood, my liege," their old stable-master rumbles. "He will bear you over a sea of slaves." The ramp used by charioteers to enter the hippodrome slams down in a cloud of dust. Blood of empire has been here before, even if I have not. His hooves paw the sand, impatient for the glory to which he has become entitled. It has been years since I've ridden a horse, and in all of human history how many have graced the back of such a terrible prize as this? I fear disgracing this king of horses more than I do the coming violence. With an intake of breath, I grip the horn of Helios and dig my heels into his sides. It is like riding lightning. The ramp blurs past underneath. Suddenly we are upon the surface of the hippodrome. No sea of faces awaits us, no adulation. Only a black sky, the empty stadium, and a ragged band of men jogging across the sand in tattered uniforms, Roan and Kalindora at their lead. The loyalists who led the attack on the Republic prison led them here for me. The Praetorians and Kalindora are shocked to find me alive. I spare no time for pleasantries as I circle them atop blood of empire. "Upon Luna, upon Earth, upon Mars, they say that the Praetorian Guard is dead," I shout, "that they have faded into the maw of history like morning fog over the sea, that nothing remains but the memory of the giants that once walked the worlds. Roan T. Flavinius," I cry, "before all things, what are the Praetorian Guard?" "Equestrians," he bellows. "And what is your duty?" "To protect the blood of Loon." "Will you ride with me today, Roan T. Flavinius?" "With honour, my liege." "Are you a memory?" I ask the Praetorians as blood continues to canter around them. "No." "Are you giants?"
"Yes."
"Will you ride with me today? For the glory of your forebearers, for the resurrection of the society, for the honour of the guard, will you ride with me?"
"Yes," they roar.
Only Kalindora remains silent. I take the horn of Helios from the saddle and blow a sonorous note. and from the belly of the hippodrome the herd of Votum, pride of Heliopolis, stampedes upward under a black sky. The stable hands bear up crates of weapons provided by the loyalists, and when my praetorians are mounted, Kalindora walks up beside me with a look of disapproval. The left sleeve of her prisoner jumpsuit hangs slack, the arm darrow cut off, rotting in the desert. But her sword arm looks restless. "What a hunger for blood you have acquired in the desert," she says. "Did you survive that sandstorm just to die in these streets? If we wait for Atalantia, we will be at her mercy. Is that why you brought me the praetorians?" She does not reply. "He will win whose army is animated by the same spirit throughout its ranks. The society needs victory, not a slaughter. Too long have the rabble had a monopoly on glory. Today we reclaim it. I would have the love knight at my side as we do." I extend the loyalist razor to her. With a growing smile, she reaches forward